Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Oh, yes. And it was quite a day in court where the sentence was officially given out and the victim impact statements were made. It was, I guess, kind of shocking. I'm going to be honest, a little bit shocked on just how vocal some got. I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit. But the levels to which the wish of death upon Brian Koberger was quite high.
Yes, it was. There was no. I'm still here. By the way, the sirens just went off again. There's nasty storms here, and so I might blow away, but I'll get my 2 cents in. I was stunned that it went as smoothly as it did.
Yeah,
we were anticipating, you know, utter grief and shock and torment. Everybody seemed very composed, I thought.
Some, yes, composed in terms of not lashing out.
Correct.
Is that how you're meaning? Okay. Because
Very measured.
Emotionally composed, no.
Yes.
I mean, that, right. But I wouldn't expect anybody to be, but composed in terms of, yeah. Steve Gonzalez didn't pick up the stand and throw it at Koberger. I was wondering for a moment because he walked out, moved the lectern that everyone was speaking at so it would be facing Koberger so he could look directly at him when he was speaking. And that's where the Gonzalez family began. And Steve did a good job, but I think the star of the day in terms of letting Koberger have it in a way that I think went to the soul of that monster was Olivia Gonzalez or Stevenson. Is that's her?
Yeah, Olivia Stevenson is her name. Yeah,
it's Kaylee Gonzalez's sister. We're going to play it here for you in a second. But it wasn't a story where it was playing just on the emotions of everything you've taken from me, but that was all in there. She crafted this thing to go right at the heart of that little incel's tiny, tiny brain and tiny, tiny, you know what.
Yeah, and she took him down Mean Girl style.
Oh my God.
What he deserved.
And you knew that this, she is the epitome of, I mean, she's a smart, successful, beautiful woman. The epitome of everything that he can't have. And to, at the end of all of this, be belittled in front of everyone, in front of the world, literally. That was interesting. While you watch this, some reporting that came out, Olivia said to News Nation's Brian Enten earlier today that when she was addressing him, his jaw was clenched, and she thought that he forgot to blink. So you knew if anything was getting to that little cold, pathetic heart of his, this did.
He was being brutalized and bullied.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a criticism to her. She had every right to do this to him. I don't agree with bullying. I think it's horrific. But in this case, it needed to happen. But this was exactly what probably brought him to this point in his life, was that exact behavior. But what I love so much is, I'm trying to remember if it was her who said it, that, you know, my sister would have been kind to you.
Mm-hmm.
And something I've learned a little bit later in life is that the geeky kid in your school is the one that you should be best friends with. They're the ones who are always going to have your back.
You're realizing this now?
I'm a late bloomer. Some of my best friends were the geeky ones.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who have stood up and said, I am here for you no matter what. And they're lovely people. And take a look at the Big Bang Theory. Look at, you know, I know it's fiction, but the geeks and the nerds are the ones that...
Yeah, I was one of
really
those
kids.
Really
have the most to give.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, so if you can... It doesn't, they don't have to be the jock. They don't have to be the big, strong, you know, sexy football player. They just need to have a personality and kindness.
Man, that's,
and that's yeah. all you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brian is the epitome of a geeky kid.
No, he's not. I
don't
think
you don't agree with that?
No. There's something wrong with him.
Well,
geeky. He's disturbed. He's mentally absent of certain ways of thinking, of his brain functioning. He's dangerous. On the surface, if you're just like going, oh, he's different, that's geeky. Sure. But he's not. I mean, he's dangerous. And
absolutely. When you peel back that first layer of the onion, he is a horrific monster.
I think
the surface, if you were to see him at the gas station, he just looks like he's a nerdy individual.
Sure. Yes. But if you were to be like, like you were saying, you know, you go and you realize, oh, you can go talk to the nerdy people and they're the nicest people in the world. He would not be one of them.
No, he would be the scary.
Exactly.
Corner,
he on the surface appears to be that, but any level deeper than that, you're getting Norman Bates.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's how I feel about Mr. Brian Koberger.
Yeah, and believe me, I don't think that there's anything normal about him. I think 5 minutes into a conversation, you'd push your chair away from the table and go, okay, I got to go.
I think within 3 seconds of him looking up at you with those dead eyes, that's the creepiest shit that there is. Let's watch Olivia's testimony here, her victim impact statement delivered directly to the face of Brian Koberger in court.
Hello, I'd like to start by thanking the court for allowing me the time and opportunity to speak today. My name is Olivia, and I'm the big sister of Kaylee Gonzalez, and I was blessed to love Madison Mogan as a sister, too. I'm not here today to speak in grief. I'm here to speak in truth. Because the truth is, my sister Kaylee and her best friend Maddie were not yours to take. They were not yours to study, to stalk, or to silence. They were two pieces of a whole, the perfect yin and yang. They are everything that you could never be. Loved, accepted, vibrant, accomplished, brave, and powerful. Because the truth about Kaylee and Maddie is they would have been kind to you. There if you is. Had approached them in their everyday lives, they would have given you directions, thanked you for the compliment, or awkwardly giggled to make your own words less uncomfortable for you. In a world that rejected you, they would have shown mercy. Because the truth is, I'm angry. Every day I'm angry. I'm left shouting at the inside of my own head everything I wish I could say to you. The truth about me is when I heard the news, I didn't cry. I listened for them. I promised them I would, that I would fight for them, that I would show up no matter what it cost me. I swore I'd never let them feel alone. Because you see, I've always been their heavyweight. I've always been the one to fight the battles they didn't feel ready to fight themselves. All it ever took was a call, and they knew I would handle it for them, no matter the time, no matter the cost. They could wave their white flag because they knew I would never back down, not for them. And not even death could change that. Somewhere along the line, I started to think about what I would say to them if I was given just one last chance. If I could gather enough heartbreak or love or sacrifice or whatever it took to get just one message across, what would I say? Throughout this entire process, I've written my feelings down at every moment, my wishes, my love, my denial, my anger. And as one final act of love, I'd planned to read these thoughts, even jarring and discombobulating and not even making sense. Because for me, that was true love. As bare and as naked as it could be, not laced in pretty words or dressed for the occasion, but written through bleary eyes at 2 a.m. with clenched fists, angry at this reality. My true final act of love was to continue on without them, for them. That dream to read aloud my love to them, to bring meaning through pain, was the latest blow in realizing you don't deserve it. And Kaylee and Maddie don't need it. Kaylee and Maddie have always known my love, and they would never ask me to prove it by further victimizing myself to a defendant who has shown no guilt, no remorse, no apprehension. They would say to me, why would you give the satisfaction of showing vulnerability now? You promised you would never back down. And for that clarity, I'm thankful. I won't stand here and give you what you want. I won't offer you tears. I won't offer you trembling. Disappointments like you thrive on pain, on fear, and on the illusion of power. And I won't feed your beast. Instead, I will call you what you are. Sociopath, psychopath, murderer. I will ask the questions that reverberate violently in my own head so loudly that I can't think straight most any day. Some of these might be familiar, so sit up straight when I talk to you.
Ooh.
How was your life right before you murdered my sisters? Did you prepare for the crime before leaving your apartment? Please detail what you were thinking and feeling at this time. Why did you choose my sisters? Before making your move, did you approach my sisters? Detail what you were thinking and feeling. Before leaving their home, is there anything else you did? How does it feel to know the only thing you failed more miserably at than being a murderer is trying to be a rapper? Did you recently start shaving or manually pulling out your eyebrows? Why November 13th? Did you truly think your Amazon purchase was untraceable because you used a gift card? Ooh. How do you find it enjoyable to stargaze with such a severe case of visual snow? Where is the murder weapon? The clothes you wore that night? What did you bring into the house with you? What was the second weapon you used on Kaylee? What were Kaylee's last words? Please describe in detail the level of anxiety you must have felt when you heard the Bearcat pull up to your family home on December 30th, 2022. Which do you regret more? Returning to the crime scene 5 hours later, or never, ever going back to Moscow, not even once, after stalking them there for months? If you were really smart, do you think you'd be here right now?
Woo!
What's it like needing this much attention just to feel real? You're terrified of being ordinary, aren't you? Do you feel anything at all? Or are you exactly what you always feared? Nothing. Ooh. If you're so powerful, then why are you still hiding, defendant? You see, I'm here today as me. But who are you? Let's try to take off your mask and see. You didn't create devastation. You revealed it in yourself. And that darkness you carry, that emptiness, you'll sit with it long after this is over. That is your sentence. And it was written on the wall long before you ever pled guilty. You didn't win. You just exposed yourself as the coward you are. You're a delusional, pathetic, hypochondriac loser who thought you were so much smarter than everybody else. Constantly scolding, turning your nose up to grammar mistakes, nitpicking and criticizing others. You wanted so badly to be different, to be special, to be better, to be deep, to be mysterious. You found yourself thinking you were better than everyone else, and you thought you could figure out the human psyche and see through it, all while tweaked out on heroin. Lurking in the shadows made you feel powerful because no one ever paid you any attention in the light. You thought you were exceptional, all because of a grade on a paper. You thought you were elite because your online IQ test from 2010 told you so. All of that effort just to seem important. It's desperate. There is a name for your condition, though. Your inflated ego just didn't allow you to see it. Wannabe.
Ooh.
You act like no one could ever understand your mind, but the truth is you're basic. You're a textbook case of insecurity disguised as control. Your patterns are predictable. Your motives are shallow. You are not profound. You're pathetic. You aren't special or deep, not mysterious or exceptional. Don't ever get it twisted again. No one is scared of you today. No one is intimidated by you. No one is impressed by you. No one thinks that you are important. You orchestrated this like you thought you were God. Now look at you, begging a courtroom for scraps. You spent months preparing, and still all it took was my sister in a sheath. You work so hard to seem dangerous, but real control doesn't have to prove itself. The truth is, the scariest part about you is how painfully average you turned out to be. The truth is, you're as dumb as they come. Stupid, clumsy, slow, sloppy, weak, dirty. Let me be very clear. Don't ever try to convince yourself you mattered just because someone finally said your name out loud. I see through you. You want the truth? Here's the one you'll hate the most. If you hadn't attacked them in their sleep, in the middle of the night, like a pedophile, Kaylee would have kicked your fucking ass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now, that was a speech.
That was a speech. That deserves an award. That cut to the soul and core of everything that an insecure person would be concerned about. She got in there, no pun intended. I don't mean any disrespect, but she took a K-bar knife and went.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah.
She twisted that knife so fucking hard.
If anybody got a little bit through, that was it. in terms of hitting him where it hurts, because he doesn't get hurt in the normal spots that one would think emotionally. And she was able to get in there right where all of his insecurities lie, with an attractive woman who is smart, who is far smarter than him, and is well-spoken, is not clumsy, is not, it's everything he is, that all the things he's not. And just putting the mirror back up to him, this one that he thinks he's this other thing, and she just goes, look at you. And that's, yeah, I mean, that's, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was heartfelt. It meant everything.
There's one more we're going to play. This is, I believe it's her mom speaking, and she also delivers a message from Kaylee's other sister at the very end, which is a lovely way to wrap this up, the way that she kind of put the cherry on top of all of this. Let's take a listen to this. And
thank you, Your Honor. I never imagined having to speak to someone so devoid of humanity. For a long time, I didn't think I'd find the words low enough to meet you where you are. But now I realize this isn't about you. It's about what you've done to me, and I need you to hear it. When you murdered my daughter, Kaylee Jade Gonzalez, you didn't just take her life. You shattered others. You attacked what you could never be, and in doing so, you left a trail of devastation far beyond that house. You stole my peace. You've altered my every waking moment, every sleepless night, the way I view the world, people, safety, trust. It's all been changed by your cruelty. I no longer recognize parts of myself. Joy is harder to find. Laughter feels foreign. The world moves forward, but I'm suspended in a place of sorrow and rage. You've taken from me something that can never be restored. The grief sits with me every day, some days quietly, and other days so loud it drowns out everything else. The emotional toll you've inflicted on me is immeasurable. I live with a constant ache, with birthdays that are now memorials, with holidays that feel hollow, with empty chairs that scream louder than words ever could. I am forever changed. But for you, as a person working on a PhD in criminal justice, you really didn't think this one through. You're not that good. In fact, you're not that good at anything. Mm. You couldn't secure a job. You couldn't get along with others. You couldn't even get a female to look in your direction. Ooh. All because you are pathetic. Now you're a joke in this courtroom. I wish I could crown you with a jester hat to complete your orange jumpsuit clown look. A dead killer doesn't kill again. So while I'm disappointed the firing squad won't get to take their shots at you, I'm confident that the men in prison will have their way with you in more ways than one. You will finally get what you wanted, physical touch.
Oh,
just probably not how you were expecting. See, you haven't beat the system. You've simply entered a new one where the rules are cruel and the consequences will never end. You are entering a place where no one will care who you are and no one will ever respect you. You will be forgotten, discarded, used, and erased. You will always be remembered as a loser, an absolute failure. And when those prison doors slam shut behind you, I hope that sound echoes in your heart for the rest of your meaningless days. I hope it reminds you of what we all already know. You're nothing. May you continue to live your life in misery. You are officially the property of the state of Idaho, where your fellow inmates are anxiously awaiting your arrival. But it's okay, because they're there to help you. Hell will be waiting. Quick message from our youngest daughter. Aubrey wanted to say. You may have received A's in high school and college, but you're going to be getting big D's in prison.
Okay. There it was. Not a lot to say after that, is there?
Me and Robin were talking about this during the break when we were doing this live. And if you want to watch the whole thing, it's up on the YouTube channel or in the podcast feed. And Robin, I mean, it's... There's a lot of alluding in here to basically the campaign that I've talked about, the Canteen for Kills. And I think they're kind of enabling that system here. I think you have a lot of that going on where I'm not going to be surprised if there's people in that that family that become pen pals with a lot of inmates in there, and a lot of canteens are filled up to the brim as incentives, you know, indirectly.
Yeah, a lot of Snickers bars.
Directed at that guy right there.
Hey, you want $20 in your canteen? I'll give you 40. You know?
Is there a limit on how much money you can have in your canteen?
I don't know. I walked through a prison 2 years ago.
Yeah.
On a tour. I don't understand how any of it works, and I don't ever want to find out, but it was horrifying, and I don't ever want to do it again.
I would just say, I mean, if I was like, if I was one of the parents here, I'd be like, there's no limits to the canteen that you will receive. If what I like done is carried out, rest of your life, all Snickers galore. You're going to be the fucking candy man. Yep. You know, you can resell it. You're going to have so much.
Yeah.
I don't know that his prospects are very good for life. I also said this earlier today too, of if you were, betting, and you were to go, okay, if your goal is you want Koberger to die and be off the planet as soon as humanly possible, well, we could have gone through the trial and then get the conviction and get the death penalty, and then that'll take another 10 years at least to be carried out, and go through another 20 years of appeals, because that's how long it will take. And then by then, maybe they have, you know, the death penalty removed and gone and or rescinded, or who the hell knows in 20 years what the hell's going on. So you honestly, you didn't get a great bet on that one. It's not like you're sentenced to death and then they take you out to the front and chop your head off. I think your odds of death are a lot higher this way. I think if you really wanted to sentence him to death, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, it's the unofficial way of a death sentence.
Yeah. This ain't going to work out well for him.
I don't think so. He's going to have to watch his back all the time. And he's going to be a high-profile prisoner for quite some time. They're probably going to keep him by himself.
For a while, yeah.
For a while, but there might be one prison guard, you know, a part-timer that comes in on the weekend and goes, all right, you can go. You can go, you know, hang out in the yard, not realizing, uh-oh, you just sent him into a, you know, a den of sharks.
I mean, in theory, yes, you could keep him separate forever, but that's not usually how that works. At some point, usually everyone does segregate into the, I mean, unless they are a danger physically to other people. I don't think Koberger poses a physical threat to most of the inmates. I think he could get taken down pretty quick in a jail setting. But who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. He killed four people brutally.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody got him a shiv or something, he could do some damage.
Prison. Not that I know, but I've never been to prison or a jail, but, you know, it is something where it's a new culture. It's, I mean, Koberger couldn't figure out just normal life in a free culture. There's no way he's going to figure out the culture in prison and what's appropriate and what's not, and act the right way or not the right way to avoid pissing someone off, or just or not realize just how much of a target he's going to be. Because I think he thinks he's going to go in there as this badass killer. It's like crazy eyes killer. Oh no, you isn't.
No, yeah. No, he's a coward killer is what he is. He got lucky that he was able to pick off four people.
And he killed basically kids, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they were sleeping, or it was, you know, in the dark of night. He didn't confront them. He came at them when they were least expecting it.
I think whoever is the winner that does this in prison, I don't think it even needs to be like one person or anything that like promises like, oh, your canteen. Like, I just think you probably have an abundance of support forever, just from everyone. And yeah, I think that's how that would work. Well, that's the sentencing of Brian Koberger.
When do the specials come out? Because I know the judge said, let's, you know, let this be the end of his 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, they've already started, you know? I mean, if you're watching this in the morning, I'm going to guess Nightline. I'm going to guess, everything is running a special on it. So,
but when do they get to talk to him? That's what I want to see, the interview with him. That's what I want to see.
I think that's going to be some time because they're, I don't know that, I don't know how that works in terms of a request to do an interview. Like Lori Vallow is getting, you know, interview time, but I don't know if that's by jurisdiction or how they allow that, or if it's up to the prison or the state or anything to allow or not allow that. And in what sort of form, like sitting down or, you know, correspondence via letter. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't either, but I would bet we're going to see it.
Yeah, at some point we'll see it. Let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube. If you're not already there, do check us out, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You can find it on YouTube. And of course, if you're on the podcast platforms, press subscribe there as well. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.